Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. It's our Best of Steve Jones Show week. News Radio 1070 WKOK. And Sean Carey, we're here in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia. On the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. You can find us on social media. Like us on Facebook. Search Steve Jones Show. Follow us on Twitter. Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU. Website as well. SteveJonesShow.com. We got 3 months of shows archived there on the podcast page. And once we're done with the live shows on WKOK, we can get them to your smartphone and tablet for free when you subscribe to the Steve Jones Show podcast. It's available on both iTunes and Google Play. Just search Steve Jones Show. And we continue replaying some of the great interviews we have had on the show in the last several months. Once Penn State won the NIT championship in men's basketball a couple of months ago, we heard that Tony Carr left to go pro. And, of course, it was just last week we learned that Tony was taken by the New Orleans Pelicans. So not long after we got the news, barely an hour when the news was released that Tony was going to forego the rest of his college career, I had a chance to speak with Dick Girardi. Of course, that is Steve's broadcast partner on Hoops with the Penn State Sports Network. So we'll replay that interview with DJ coming up later on this hour. Also in a few seconds, we'll talk to Mike Conti, who has ties to Central PA and is also the host now of the pre- and post-game show on the Atlanta Falcons radio network on 92.9 The Game. In Atlanta. We spoke with Mike after Matt Ryan picked up his mega $1 million deal, and that was a little over a month ago, close to 2 months ago, so we'll have that interview with Mike in a couple of seconds. The pride and joy of Philadelphia, longtime broadcaster, now a Phillies ambassador, Chris Wheeler. Chris and Steve go back so many years together, and we will have a great interview replay with Chris next hour at 4:06. And then we'll wrap up the show today with Michigan sports writer, Michigan and Michigan State sports writer, Chris Soleri of the Detroit Free Press. Chris was courtside covering Villanova and Michigan, the men's national championship final, the first Monday night in April. So we will replay that night with Chris and that interview, too, to wrap up the show today. Also coming up tomorrow on the Best of the Steve Jones Show, we'll have replays with Tony Knopp, the CEO of Spotlight Ticket Management, and Richard Sandomir, who was a sports media writer for close to 30 years with the New York Times. He's now one of their obituary writers. Also, Richard wrote a book last year, The Pride of the Yankees, about the movie. Yes, the infamous movie about the life and times of Lou Gehrig. The hardcover version of the book was a big success, and earlier this spring it was released as a paperback. So perfect excuse to replay that interview with Richard Sandomir. We will do that tomorrow. And then on Friday, to wrap up the week, we will have replays of interviews with Mike DeCourcy of the Sporting News and Big Ten Network. And also we'll go back to September of 2016, when we were counting down to celebrating the anniversary of Joe Paterno's first game as head football coach at Penn State, had a chance to have a very rare conversation with one of the Nittany Lion football legends, Mike Reed. So we'll wrap up the week Friday, 4:35, with Mike. We figured we put on a heavy hitter, since if we're not going to have Steve's brother Kevin Jones on the show in his weekly spot Friday at 4:35, we better put on someone with significance, and Mike Reed definitely fits the bill. And, of course, Steve will be back next week. We'll have four shows next week for the 4th of July. This is a very unfortunate story. Cobb County Police They announced that a body was found yesterday inside a freezer at the stadium where the Atlanta Braves play. The body was that of an outside contractor. Co-worker of the deceased made the discovery. When asked if foul play was suspected, it's still an active investigation, not able to speculate whether or not foul play is a factor. The Braves played their scheduled game against the Reds Tuesday night, and they're now playing a getaway game as we speak. Speaking of getaway game, it is the final game of the three-game set coming up tonight at Citizens Bank Park between the Philadelphia Phillies and New York Yankees. For the fourth time this season, the Phillies were shut out last night. Sparkling performance by the New York Yankees and their pitcher, Luis Severino, became the majors' first 12-game winner. 6-0 last night. Bronx Bombers beaten the Fightins' Aaron Hicks and Didi Gregorius homered. So tonight we'll wrap up the series and see if Philly can salvage one of the games. We'll have On Deck at 6:30 with Jim Jackson. First pitch at 7:05 with Scott Fransky and Larry Anderson here at your home for Phillies baseball. News Radio 1070 WKOK. I made mention of that Cincinnati-Atlanta getaway game this afternoon. They're in the bottom of the ninth inning currently. The Reds lead the Braves 6-5. A couple of other getaway games today. Bottom of the third, Toronto leads the Astros 5-3. And in the bottom of the fourth, Kansas City and Milwaukee are scoreless. Other games coming up tonight. You've got Seattle at Baltimore, the Angels at Boston, Oakland, Detroit, Arizona, Miami, Pittsburgh takes on the Mets, San Diego and Texas, Minnesota and the White Sox, Cleveland and the Cardinals, Cubs and Dodgers, and Colorado at San Francisco. World Cup soccer continues. Germany, the defending World Cup champions, they were knocked out of the tournament earlier today, shocked by South Korea by a score of 2-0. Very substantial. Big win. Huge loss for Germany. Yogi Löw will probably be out as country club manager of the team. First time Germany has been eliminated from the first round of a World Cup since 1938. And South Korea, the first Asian team to beat Germany at the World Cup, and first Asian team to score versus Germany at the World Cup since 1994. That team was, again, South Korea back then. South Korea was a 20-1 long shot to beat Germany today. That was according to sportsbook Westgate. Looks like Brazil is going to move on. They're currently leading Serbia. Second half, 1-0. Mexico was shut out today by Sweden, 3-0. A really rough performance by Mexico, but because of that loss that Germany had, Mexico will move on to the knockout round, to the round of 16. So going back to some NFL news, Matt Ryan, highest paid player in the NFL, but for how long? That's the burning question. And right after Matt Ryan signed that deal with the Atlanta Falcons, we had a chance to speak with Mike Conti, pre- and post-game host on the Atlanta Falcons radio network.
Big money contract for Matt Ryan, $30 million a year. Mike Conti covers the Falcons and is part of the pregame and postgame for the Falcons radio network and joins us now. Mike, welcome back. It's always great to hear you on the other end.
Hey, Steve, how are you?
Doing really well. Hope you are well. Matt Ryan's doing well with his new contract. Timing means everything. And the timing for a quarterback in this era could not be any better. It has nothing to do with anything. I mean, timing means a lot. His timing was right.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, a lot of fans are struggling with it because they see the number. They know it's a big number. Matt Ryan has not won a Super Bowl. He's come close, but he hasn't won it. What are you doing giving him $30 million a year, first NFL player to make that? But in reality, Steve, it's not that unfriendly of a deal for the Falcons, because if you look at the market that was set this year by the deals that Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins received, these are not outrageous numbers. And quite frankly, Aaron Rodgers is going to get paid even more than Matt Ryan at some point later this summer. So it's always, I would hate to be an NFL general manager, because I'm sure it gives you a lot of heartburn knowing that such a high percentage of your salary cap is not just going to one position, but one player. But in reality, if you want to have one of the top 10, 12 quarterbacks in the NFL, this is the kind of money that you're going to have to shell out. And I think what we've learned, Steve, is it's very rare, almost a fluke, when you can go and win a Super Bowl with an average quarterback. I know there are the exceptions that prove the rule, and Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer and maybe a few others, but that's extremely rare. So if you want to be competitive, you need to have an elite quarterback, and if you want to have an elite quarterback, you're going to have to pay $100 million.
Which then goes to the next part. You talk about it's actually a friendly deal in a lot of ways for the Falcons because I believe it counts 10% against the cap this year, 12%
right.
next year. It isn't until the third year when it gets to 16%.
Correct, although that makes it tricky because the Falcons have done an excellent job over the last, say, 3 years drafting talent for their defense. Keanu Neal, Devondre Campbell, Brian Poole. I mean, you could go down the list. And the Falcons' defense is actually kind of evolving into a semi-elite defense. Grady Jarrett's a big part of that. He's another one, someone they got in the fifth round. Kind of reminds you a little bit, though, of the Seahawks maybe a year or two ago where they got into the position where they couldn't afford to pay market value to all the players that they drafted because they were playing out their rookie deals. So the Falcons do get some short-term flexibility. They were hard against the cap in free agency, and that's why they didn't really go out and make a move other than signing Brandon Fusco, a right guard, who might be a backup, as it turns out, from San Francisco. They get a little more flexibility now. I think with Matt Ryan redoing this, they get maybe an extra $3 or $4 million with which to work, which is not really a whole lot now that we're at the end of free agency, but it will allow the Falcons to have a little bit more room if they want to make a decision and keep Jake Matthews, and that's obviously a key. You want to have a left guard protecting your or left tackle protecting your $100 million investment. But, yeah, come that third year of the deal, when it goes up to 16% of the cap, you either have to hope that league revenues have grown exponentially and the cap's going to go up, which is not a gamble I would make, or they're going to have some very, very tough decisions to make with their defense.
Exactly. And now we get to other parts. Because, I mean, that's the tricky part, how to make all the parts fit with this. And that's what they need to do. But he's also a quarterback that has been, knock on wood, had tremendous durability.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's only missed two games in his career, which is remarkable, isn't it, for someone who's going into his 10th year in the league. So you do have to kind of hope that trend continues. It's not a gamble you necessarily want to make. The Falcons are in pretty good shape because Matt Schaub has given them a discount to stay here for another year, so they have a solid backup. But the problem is, Steve, you can't count on anyone to give you a hometown discount anymore. I think there was a little bit of optimism here in Atlanta that Matt Ryan likes playing here. He's been the face of the franchise. He's really been the component of this franchise that has kept them stable over the last 10 years, even as they made a coaching change. There was hope that maybe he'd give the Falcons a little bit of a hometown discount, but Tom Condon, his agent, was not interested in any of that. And again, all he had to do was point to the Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins deals. Yeah. So unless the Falcons get some help from some of these young guys that they've drafted, like Keanu Neal and Grady Jarrett and Devondre Campbell and Deion Jones, and I don't think you can count on that, they're going to be in a similar boat to where the Seahawks have been the last year or two, where they're going to have to either trade or jettison some good young defensive players because you just can't afford to keep everyone.
And the bottom line is, though, you can't afford not to go through this without the quarterback.
I mean,
that's why timing means everything for him. Look, quarterbacks have always been highly paid. Always have, no matter what.
Yeah.
You can go to any era, they've always been highly paid. Here's the next part. Don't get all caught up in the guaranteed part and what's not guaranteed. When's the last time a quarterback didn't get all the money? Because they don't leave. Hey, I mean, it's not like, hey, he's going to make the team in his fifth year to make it. Did anybody out there, show of hands, think that the Saints were going to cut Drew Brees a few years ago when he signed the 5-year, $100 million deal and only $60 million was guaranteed? I mean, come on.
I mean, I agree. There was actually a pretty deep thought in New Orleans that they were going to let him walk, but the Saints were in salary cap prison. I mean, they were so far over the cap. Mickey Loomis really, really had some problems, couldn't get deals restructured, and they were really in deep trouble. But that is such an anomaly. You are right. Quarterbacks, unless there's something totally unforeseen with an injury or something off the field, They always play out their contracts, and that I'm sure will be the case with Matt Ryan. He had a press conference today, Steve, where he talked about wanting to play to age 42, which is certainly something he would be capable of doing if he plays out another 6 or 7 years. Like we said, he's only missed 2 games in his career, but I think part of it, again, is you need to have an offensive line that will protect you and make it possible for you to avoid injury, and that's where, you know, you could go to a Matt Ryan and say, well, how badly do you want to keep Jake Matthews? Are you going to give a little bit of money back to keep that protection at left tackle? You know, they went out, they were very aggressive in getting Alex Mack 2 years ago, which I thought was a big reason why they were able to take that enormous leap from 2015, where they missed the playoffs, to almost winning the Super Bowl in 2016. And again, these are things that quarterbacks have to wrestle with. You know, do you give back a touch of money here or there to make sure that you have people who can keep you protected in the pocket?
Then the other part, too, is that the league is so close together. I mean, you look at the division they're in, those teams are all grouped together closely. I mean, in terms of competitiveness.
And you know what's really interesting, Steve, is if you look at the Saints, the Panthers, the Bucs, and the Falcons, what have they really concentrated on drafting the last couple of years and movement and free agency? I mean, you saw the Saints move up 12, 13 spots and give up a first-rounder next year to get an edge rusher.
Right.
These teams of the NFC South know you're going to see Drew Brees, Matt Ryan, Cam Newton, and Jameis Winston all twice a year.
Yep.
You need to boost your defense. You need to find good young defensive players. You need to spend your money on defense. And that's what we're seeing now in the NFC South. I mean, the Falcons overwhelmingly have drafted defense the last 3 years. And part of that's Dan Quinn being a defensive guy, and he knows the metrics, the height, the weight, the 40 time that he needs to have to do what he needs to do defensively. But I think part of it, too, is you've got to get to Drew Brees and Cam Newton and Jameis Winston. It's just a reality of the division. And a lot of other divisions in the NFL aren't like that.
Which brings me to the next part. You talk about money. If you're going to save money, get all your draft picks signed from the slot they're in and get them in there. How well did the Falcons draft to then maybe either solidify depth or maybe have somewhat of an impact early?
Well, I thought they had a really interesting first round in Ridley out of Alabama, because you still have Julio Jones and Muhammad Sanu here. You lost Taylor Gabriel, but I think more significantly you lost Andre Roberts, who was their kick returner and was top 10 in the league in kickoff returns this year. The Falcons, it wasn't that long ago when they had Devin Hester as a really dangerous guy that no one wanted to kick to because you knew he could run it back. I think Ridley is going to be a big, big part of special teams in the kick return game in 2018. And Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn have said as much. But the Falcons' strategy this year was really to go out and just get the best available player. They got Dietrich Sinnott out of South Florida in the third round when they really, really need a defensive tackle. They let down Terry Poe walk in the offseason, and Jack Crawford, the former Penn Stater, is coming off an injury, but they're really thin at defensive tackle, and they waited until the third round to make that pick because they wanted to go and get the best available player. They drafted a corner in the second round. They're solid at corner right now with Desmond Trufant, Robert Alford, and Brian Poole at the nickel corner, but they look at Oliver as a guy who can press Poole, maybe get some more time at that nickel corner and also be a part of special teams. So I thought they drafted well. It was an interesting draft. It was very unpredictable because we thought they were going to go with Taven Bryan and get a defensive tackle right away, and they did not.
Yeah, but I thought Ridley was a good pick for them. To me, I thought out of the gate, I looked at that, felt he was the best receiver in the draft, although I think there's a lot of areas he can be better. But still, I thought that was a good pick. And when you've got other guys around him, Sanu, Jones, he doesn't have to be the guy. That helps.
At least not at first. Yeah, that helps. And I think it gives them insurance to Sanu if things don't go well with him negotiating at the end of this year. Contract is coming up. And, again, we talk about the amount of money that the Falcons have tied up in Ryan, but also in Julio Jones. A lot of money tied up in the two players. So they might be looking at Ridley as their number two of the receiver of the future next to Julio Jones and maybe taking a chance of letting Muhammad Sanu walk.
Hey, it's always great to hear you. Appreciate the time very, very much, Mike.
All right, Steve, anytime. Great talking with you as always.
Mike Conti from the Falcons Radio Network. Matt Ryan, a $30 million a year deal. He walked in, he said, look, I want to be paid like the suit. They buckled. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Celebrate America with America's Best Value Summer Event at Sunbury Motors Kia. I want to see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia. As summer heats up, so do the special offers at Sunbury Motors Kia. The best season of the year deserves America's best value. And there's no better value than 20 new 2018 Kias for under 20 grand. You heard right. Sunbury Motors Kia has 20 new 2018 Kia Rios, Optimus Souls, and Fortes for under 20 grand. But that's not all. Get 0% financing for 66 months on most 2018 Kia models. Plus, all include the industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Celebrate America with America's best value summer event at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymotorskia.com.
Offer expires 6/30/18. Financing offers exclude Kia Stinger, Kadenza, and Rio, and are for qualified buyers through K&F Financing. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. It's Best of Week, and Sean Carey here in the Sunbury Motors studio. And following the Penn State win in the NIT championship game in early April, wasn't too long after that when Tony Carr decided to make his announcement and forego the rest of his collegiate career and take a shot in the NBA. Last week, he was drafted in the second round by the New Orleans Pelicans, their only pick in the entire NBA draft. And this was Steve's conversation with his broadcast partner from the Penn State Sports Network, basketball analyst Dick Girardi.
This is the 21st time that Dick Girardi's been on the show. That makes this... I don't know if that's true or not, but I had to say it.
I don't know. Sounds good, Steve.
It's a blackjack argue, appearance. nobody's going to argue. We can make up anything we want. Tony Carr, absolutely, and we have for a decade and a half.
That's no question. Nobody makes it up better than we do, brother.
Absolutely. Tony Carr not only declaring today, but also declaring that he's going to get an agent as well. So his career is done, Dick. What was your reaction him declaring was zero surprise, but what about
right.
the agent part?
Yeah, I was a little surprised because the process is such that you can get some great input. And then if he gets the input he likes, then he can go ahead and hire an agent. But if he doesn't, and after you hire one, unfortunately, the way it's structured now, although I think that may change, Steve. I don't know if it's going to change in time for Tony if he would happen to want to change his mind. But, I would have just thought he would have wanted to kept some options open. But you know what? I'm sure he's talked about it with his family, and they've made their decision. And it's been an awesome 2 years, and NIT championship made Penn State relevant. We will miss him and wish him all the best. I know I spent some time talking to him after the game on Thursday and just said, look, talk to your family, figure out what the best decision for you guys is, and go ahead and make it. And obviously that's what he's done.
And that's the other part, too, talking about his family. We talk about Penn State and about Patrick Chambers and what we're watching. His family situation has to come into play here, and he has to bring that
Absolutely.
Into consideration, which he did.
Oh, no question. Yeah, no question. Yeah, that's all part of it, Steve. And there are some things we can't know. You know, we know the basketball part of it. And, look, Tony was absolutely great for the program, first team all Big Ten. First player in school history to get 1,000 points in his freshman and sophomore years, and got better and better as the season went on, and it was the kind of recruit that Penn State just hadn't gotten. And you know what? I know I said this back, and whenever I spoke to the Hoops Club, but somebody asked me, says, "Boy, wouldn't it be a shame if somebody goes to the NBA?" I said, "Hey, that's a good thing for the program is that guys are good enough to potentially go to the league." And so, yeah, all the best to Tony and his family. And, it's been a great run. Would you like to have seen 3 or 4 years of Penn State? Sure, but that's not the way reality is anymore in the world.
Yeah, reality is not that way. And here's the other part. Now in recruiting, when somebody says, what do you want to go to Penn State for? You can't get to the league there. Well, with Tony Carr and now Tim Frazier already in, Penn State can look at him and say, yeah, you can get to the league by going here.
Yeah, and that's also a deal in reality, Steve. That is a recruiting tool for coaches. They want to know, can I get there from your school, and can you as a coach and a staff help me get there? Well, all you have to do is look at Tony from his last 2 years at Roman Catholic, where he was really good, to his freshman year last year, where he was very good, to this year, where he got dramatically better. So that tells you that it's a coaching staff that can help you get there. And obviously it's a league that can help you get there because of the competition. And, yeah, look, NBA is the hardest league in the world to break into. I mean, it's also dealing reality there. It's nothing's easy, nothing's given to you, but hopefully, you know, Tony certainly worked hard to get in such great shape this year. I'm sure he'll do it again.
Which then brings me to the other part. A guy that's not going to opt to go is Mike Watkins, and Josh Reeves is back, and Lamar Stevens is back. How do you feel about the nucleus, especially after what we just watched in the last month?
Yeah, look, let's talk about who. Good, I feel good because it's a really good nucleus, but you lose Shep Garner, who set the school record for threes, a huge loss. You lose Julie Moore, who was a great program guy, also a huge loss. And now you lose Tony Carr. So you're losing three of your top six or seven, depending on how you want to look at it. That's a significant loss. The good news is there are good players coming in behind Tony and the seniors. But, yeah, I mean, those are big losses. But the names you mentioned are big-time Big Ten and national kind of players, and that's a pretty good way to start. And watching how young John Harrell played in the postseason, Steve, I think gives everybody a lot of hope because you weren't really thinking about him because he wasn't in the rotation. Now all of a sudden he's not only in, but he's a factor. I think that's huge. And we mentioned the guys that have signed, and there'll be more possible recruits for next year. So it'll be different, but I think it's been established now that the program is heading in the right direction.
And then there's the other part, too. While it is lamented that Tony Carr is opting for the NBA draft and he's going to sign with an agent, and so I understand the consternation of Penn State fans, you also have to take into account what's been lost by other programs. Kata Bates Diop, Jackson declared today, Bridges declared, four seniors at Purdue. The league is changing all the time, too, Dick.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's a great point, Steve, because I think people have a tendency, we all do, just to look at our own situation or what's going on there. There's a lot of stuff going on with a lot of people's situations. And the league, I think if Penn State had been a little luckier this year with when Josh was out and then Mike was out at the end, because if you think about it, there were six Big Ten games, and I'll count the Michigan game because Mike barely played, where Penn State played without one of their regular starters. They lost five of them. If they win, say, four of the six instead of one of the six, we're probably not talking about an NIT championship right now because they're in the other tournament.
Right,
that's
exactly
how close they were to breaking through into, the top four of the league last year. So, yeah, and the way guys worked, and certainly Lamar had a phenomenal finish to his season. He'll be one of the best players in the Big Ten. Josh will be one of the best players in the Big Ten. And it's always nice to start off knowing as you have a junior and a senior who will be among, at the very least, the 10 best players in the league. And I can't go over every name now because there's a bunch of guys that are putting their names in the draft. But probably among the 10 best in the league when the season starts. That's a good place to start for you.
Yeah, and that's where you have to look at it. Where is it in the big picture? Because you have to include everybody else in the big picture as well. Villanova and go ahead.
Yeah, now I was going to say, well, speaking of Villanova, if Villanova wins tonight, Steve, you and I promote a Villanova Penn State game in Hershey on Saturday. What do you think?
Let's do it. I'm all for it.
Yeah. NIT champs versus the NCAA champs, the championship of Pennsylvania. My guess is Patrick would probably be, yeah, let's try that. I'm not sure Coach Wright would have a little bit more to lose, but it is interesting that the NCAA and NIT champs will either both come from Pennsylvania or both come from the Big Ten. We'll obviously know a lot more around midnight tonight.
Yeah, it's interesting how the Big Ten was such a down league this year, yet they have an NCAA finals and an NIT champ.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't so bad as people were saying it, right? What else is new? People got a few things wrong. I know we're shocked about that, Steve.
I can't believe that. It's stunning. It's amazing how Villanova hit 18 threes in the semifinal. Michigan in the entire tournament has given up 18 threes. Something must be.
This is a fascinating matchup for that reason. I mean, Villanova's offense is the second most efficient in the KenPom era. Only Wisconsin's, the year they lost to Duke in the championship game, has been more efficient. And Villanova has obviously a much higher volume of threes than Wisconsin, but Wisconsin always had that. They were like, what, 8 turnovers a game, so they maximized all their possessions. But to me, Villanova is even a better offense than Wisconsin just because they can hit you with 18 threes, which is so discouraging. Michigan's defense has carried them for 2 months. And certainly during this tournament, their offense has only had one good night, the night against Texas A&M. Abdul Rahman has not played well on offense in the tournament. Very few of their guys have played well. Bogner had a good game the other night, but that and the Texas A&M is about it. I don't think that's going to work tonight, Steve. I don't think you're going to be able to win with defense alone against Villanova because they just have too much firepower. So I think it's just going to come down to how can Michigan score enough points to win. And I got to think they're going to have to get into the 70s to have a shot. And if Villanova's into the 80s, I don't see it. But Michigan's defense is that good. Look, we saw it in person in State College, and then we saw it again in the Big Ten tournament. They are that good. I think people have trouble dealing with it because it's John Beilein, and that's not how Michigan has played. But to his credit, he said, you know what, we're winning, but we're not winning enough just beating people with our offense. So he hired a defensive coach, and they've totally remade the way they played. And they've had to this year because this is, I don't know, what, the fifth or sixth best offensive team that Beilein's had at Michigan?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. A lot more firepower. On his other team, certainly the Trey Burke Hardaway team that played Louisville for the championship 5 years ago had a whole lot more firepower than this group has.
Oh, no question about that. Jay Wright, I want to say 6 years ago, were they 13-19, Dick? Does that sound right?
That is exactly right, 6 years ago. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, sometimes you'll hit a spot like that, and circumstances enter into play, injuries, who's in, who's out, whatever. Did it cause him to have just even a slight change in how he wanted to make a team?
Yeah, he did. I think he had started recruiting at a potential one-and-done level and got some guys that weren't really buying into what they were doing. And they weren't necessarily one-and-done guys anyway. So he got out of that and started thinking four-year guys again. And he had some real good program guys already in the program, and their key recruit was Ryan Archidiakono. He was a freshman 6 years ago now. This is his second year out of there. And it kind of turned his first year, Steve, and then the second year, they won 29 games. And, I mean, it's almost mind-boggling. The last five seasons, they're 164-21. I mean, it's just like, what? And you know what he also did? They changed the style of play. They used to be high ball screens. When Patrick was there, high ball screens, take the point guard, just try to penetrate, have players like Kyle Lowry and Randy Foy. Whereas now they play very much in modern NBA style where it's pass, 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 make the next pass, and then one after that and moves. It's a beautiful style to watch. He absolutely changed the style of play. And now, of course, he's got the players to make it work. It's just, I mean, when it's working like it was Saturday night, there's nobody in college basketball is going to beat it. It's just too good.
I mean, I'm not so sure I've seen a team have 5 3-point shooters on the floor at one time. I mean, it's happened, but,
Right,
this.
And one of them 6'10", and one of them 6'9". Yeah. And a whole bunch of them, Steve, if you run at them, can dribble by you and dunk on you. It's not like they just got guys that can stand out behind a three-point line. In fact, every one of their five different players that have made 50, other than maybe Booth, I mean, he can finish. You would think is a high-flying finisher. Brunson certainly isn't a high flyer, but he can definitely finish. But the other three, Spellman, Bridges, and Pascal, I mean, they're don't get out of the way if they're coming to the rim. And you've got to guard them out there because they're all – Pascal's not a 40% shooter, although he has been lately. Spellman and Bridges are well into the 40s from three, and Bridges is sitting right at 100 threes now. So, yeah, it's a good luck guarding that.
It's also been an interesting time in sports because, obviously, Tony Carr opting today to enter the NBA draft. Tony Carr also opting to get an agent as well. And we both know that there's been a lot of talk about money and the and college football and college basketball players. How much would it help if they could take and capitalize on likeness and autographs and things like that? Would it help?
To me, Steve, I've been advocating that probably for more than a decade. You don't have to pay the players. I know the people talk about, well, we can't afford to pay the players or we'd do something, we'd lose some other sports. I don't think that anybody's advocating that, or at least not anybody that understands the economics. But let's say a player like Tony, who had a great year, and somebody, and he decided he wanted to stay in school, and somebody in state college says, hey, Tony, we'd like you to come, and we'll give you, pick a number, to come and be our spokesperson for our car dealership. Like any other student could do that, and they won't let that. Right now, the NCAA won't let players do that, and I think that's a way to do it. And it wouldn't impact that many players. It would mostly be the star players. But why not give them some incentive to stay in school, and you have less of an incentive for the people who are going to break the rules to break the rules when you make it. It'd be very similar to the Olympic model, which has worked great. Remember when everybody said, oh, no, you can't have pros in the Olympics. It'll never be the same. Well, how'd that work out?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're all pros now, every one of them.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, I mean, look, Tony's decision is his, and I'm hoping when they do some changing of the rules here that they even let a player like Tony down the road hire an agent, and his agent helps him get the feedback from the NBA, and if they say, hey, look, you're in the first round, then good, you're out. But if they say, you know what, you really might help if you went back to school. I mean, I think that's advice players should be able to get. And I don't know why it would be such a bad thing if they had a professional agent helping them. I've never understood why that was a bad thing. And I do think that's something they're considering. And, again, it's not likely to be adopted in time for Tony, but maybe down the road it could help another player or players.
There was, of course, Larry Bird was drafted while still at Indiana State because he had reached his senior year academically. And then the Celtics had 364 days to sign him, which they eventually did, as he played out his fifth year at Indiana State. Should a player be able to look at the draft and, say, not get picked and go back to school, or even if they get picked, say, in the NBA in the second round, still have the option of going back to school?
Sure. Yeah. I'm for that. I think that would be a really good rule change if you don't like what happened. Then you get another crack at it. I don't see why it should be as player friendly as possible. That would be the best way I would say it, and that certainly would be player friendly, Steve. I know you and I had that conversation last week. It would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think it does as well. Going forward now with Penn State, a kid like Jamari Wheeler, you and I both know they're going to take some time and work on his shot. His importance of the program, which was already critical on the defensive end, how much more important does he become now that today's announcement is official?
Yeah, and look, he's always was going to be important, but yeah, Jamari does a lot of really good things on the court. He just doesn't have any particular confidence in his shot at the moment, but that can be worked on. You said it the other day, DJ Newbill didn't have a whole lot of confidence in his shot, and look what happened to him. He had a phenomenal career, and think about this. Josh Reeves was 3 for 39 his first year from three at Penn State. And this year he was probably would have been over 40% for the season if he hadn't missed that time and kind of lost the mechanics for a couple of games. And Tony, I mean, think of Tony last year was, I want to say, 32% or so from three. And this year, the last I looked, he was in the mid-40s. So yeah, it's doable. It's just and it's a lot easier to work when you have people specifically to work with you and get you the mechanics. So yeah, look, Jamari has skills that you can't teach. He's got that speed. He's got the want to. He's a phenomenal defender. But let's also deal in reality. It's not going to be easy to replace a player like Tony because he was he was just such a unique player, and that he could post up. He was a really good free throw shooter. And his last game at Penn State, he had, what, 14 assists?
Yeah.
Just missed a triple-double. Those are hard to come by. There's never been a points, assists, rebound, triple-double in Penn State history. And as he said to us, and I went back and looked at it, remember that one rebound where he dropped it out of bounds?
Yeah.
In the second half, that was the one where he said, man, I can't believe I dropped one. But, yeah. But you know, they'll remember the trophy a lot more than that one drop rebound. But, yeah, that's how close he was. And he's big. He's a 6'5 point guard. They're hard to find. And really nobody, with a couple of exceptions in the Big Ten in the last 2 months, they couldn't guard him. I mean, Ohio State never could figure out how to guard him. I mean, he nailed them in all three games.
Okay. I mean, it's going to bring with it a challenge not having a legitimately outstanding college player out there.
Yep.
But if you build a program with some depth, you can move to
next
step.
That's exactly how it works. And Patrick has done that. I know he knew that this was a possibility, and I think they've planned for it. And I'm sure they'll look at some potential graduate transfers, which is a huge market these days. There's a lot of players, and I think anybody that watched Penn State play during the Big Ten tournament and the NIT said, man, you know what? That looks like fun. Those guys are having fun. It's a pleasing style, and you can show them that tape. I think I would suspect that a couple of years ago you might not have gotten calls from guys who are already made and can help you, but I gotta think the coaching staff is going to get those kind of calls now, Steve, if they're not. And I'm sure they have a list of guys that they'd like to call as well, because that's a new part of the job, is that you can have a player come in and be ready to play.
All right, my friend. Always great. Appreciate it, Dick.
You got it. It was, Steve, we've had a lot of fun doing this over 14 seasons. This was as much fun as ever because we got to see guys that we knew could be good become as good as they could possibly become by the end of the season. And that's why you do it. That's why it's so much fun some years. And, boy, these guys at the end, as I said on the last broadcast, the only thing I regret is they don't have more games to play because, man, they were playing great when it ended.
It was, I mean, that was as much fun as we've had. It really was.
Yep, no doubt about it. Yep, that was cool because look around, mid-January, we're kind of looking around and go, oh, boy, this is not what's going on here when Josh was out those couple of games. But, man, when he came back, different team, and it was just fun to see all the kids smiling and making New York their second home in March.
Yeah, the broadcasters were smiling too. We had a great time with it. So
yes, we yeah. did, didn't we?
Thanks, partner. Appreciate the time as always.
You got it, Steve. See you, buddy.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.